All aboard for the transcribed premiere production, The Cruise of the Paul Parrot. We're ready for another exciting adventure of the sea in our thrilling story, which takes place in the year 1860. In our last episode, Johnny and Sue, along with Captain Dalton, Old Dickon, Sue's brother Ezra, and all the rest of the crew of the Paul Parrot, set sail from the islands of Tristan da Cunha on the last leg of their journey home. But while they were in Tristan, they met a very disagreeable captain of a merchantman named Karsh, who, strange to say, had his supposed merchant vessel equipped with full-sized cannon. Dickon hasn't trusted him from the start, because he thinks Karsh is really a privateer. And when the Paul Parrot finally leaves the harbor and sails north, homeward bound, the Africana, Karsh's ship, puts on full sail and follows. This is doubly suspicious, because Karsh was supposed to be sailing for South Africa, and also because Karsh has apparently guessed that there is a very valuable cargo on board the Paul Parrot, because it's sailing home and it doesn't carry much whale oil. And of course we know there is a very valuable treasure aboard, those rough diamonds from the island of Galto. As we see our friends again, the Paul Parrot is fairly flying through the waves with the Africana in what is now openly full chase. And Johnny and Sue are talking to Dickon.
There's no doubt of it now anymore, Dickon. That Captain Karsh is really after us.
Hi, Johnny lad. I knew from the very beginning that swab was a bloomin' privateer.
Oh, he's a pirate. He's a pirate.
The only thing I can't understand is why Captain Dalton is running away.
Slow me down, Sue. What do you mean?
I mean, that is... Well, it just isn't like Captain Dalton not to stand and fight.
Now, there, Sue. Looks to me as if you've had so much excitement on this trip, you're always expecting people to start fighting, it does. You know, there's times when it don't pay to look for trouble.
What do you mean, Dickon?
Slow me down, lass. My heart's into this. The Africana is twice as big as the Paul Parrot. Therefore, there must be twice as many men aboard her. Then, too, she's equipped with regular naval cannon. And all we has in the form of arms is rifles and pistols.
She's right, Sue. It would be suicide if Captain Dalton just pulled up to face him and fight it out.
I guess that's true, but how is it that that awful Karsh hasn't fired at us if he really wants to take us?
If you ask me, lass, he wants to overtake the ship, not sink it. You may lay for that. Since the Africana is so much bigger than the Paul Parrot, he thinks it's only a matter of time before he catches up to us anyhow, he does.
We've surely been keeping ahead of him, though.
Johnny, lad, there's not another whaling vessel on the seven seas that could have kept ahead of him as long as the trim little Paul Parrot has. But how long we can keep this up, well, I'll be blowed if I knows.
Oh, Dickon, look! Look, he's suddenly joined up on us.
Batten, don't me, that's your right. He's come off part of my headwind, and he's creeping up like a blooming cat on a mouse.
Well, if we have to, I'll fight with the rest of the men.
Johnny, you mustn't. You might get hurt.
Now, that's the young'uns. There'll be time enough to think of fighting when they catch us. And we ain't caught yet, we ain't.
Oh, there's a cannonball. They're firing at us.
Not out at us yet, lads. That shot was across our bows, signaling us to stop. But if we don't stop, they may start firing at us and not around us.
Gosh, if we only had some cannons to fight back. Oh, here comes Captain Dalton.
He looks awfully worried. And he's with my brother Ezra.
Mr. Grange, this is the most difficult decision of my days at sea. If I were alone on this ship with my crew, I'd stand and fight.
I know you would, Captain.
But with little Sue and you and Johnny aboard, sir, well, I have no right to practically throw away the lives of my passengers in a fight where our chances are only 1 out of 10.
If it were only for me, Captain, I'd say go ahead and fight. But Sue here...
I'll hide, Ezra. I won't get hurt, but don't let them take us.
I'll help you fight, sir. I can handle a gun.
Aye, lad, you're as brave as they come, but it won't do. We haven't a chance against them. There's nothing to do, as I can see, but haul sail and surrender.
Captain! Captain! That was the part of our forward railing!
Ah, it's war, man! It's war!
They mean business all right, you may lay to that. The next one will be to disable us.
Well, after all, Captain, there isn't much they can do to us, is there? We have the diamonds hidden, and remember at best... Captain Karsh can only suspect we have the valuables aboard. He doesn't know about the diamonds.
Aye, that's true. I've been thinking that. The best they can do is board us.
Lash me to a yard on, Captain! That poor skim the fore deck!
Aye, blasted. It looks like the time has come to heave to. Avast, all hands!
Take in sail, stand by to put him out! Stand by to drop anchor!
I'm afraid the men may not like the idea of giving in without a struggle.
They're following my orders, Mr. Grange. They'll do as I say. Can't be helped.
All hands stand by to defend the ship if the other crew gets any ideas of piracy. Mr. Wainwright, have all arms brought on deck for immediate use.
least, Mr. Graves, we won't let them massacre us.
They're drawing closer by the second, Captain.
There's Captain Karsh hanging over the rail with a speaking trumpet. He's hailing us.
There, too, you slug. We've played our little game long enough. Stand by for a boarding party.
By whose authority?
By my own authority, bless you. If you don't surrender peaceable, I'll rake that hulk of yours from stem to stern with great shots.
We'll stand by since we have no choice. But let me warn you, Karsh, my men are armed. And at the first sign of violence on your part, we'll shoot you and as many of your men as we can before you wipe us out.
Agreed, Mr. Dalton. There'll be no firing by either side until you hear our terms. Stand by now. I'm putting down the dollies and coming aboard.
Oh, my. What was that? More cannons?
No, lass. It was thunder. From the looks of them sleek-colored clouds, there's squalls ahead.
Gee, that's all we need. Caught by a privateer, and then it looks like a storm ahead.
The waves are very calm, though, Dickon.
Slow me down, lad. Don't let that fool you. In the South Seas, that'd be the forerunner of a hurricane.
Mr. Muscala, let down the rope's end and the rope ladder. The Africana's dory is hard aboard. Men, stand close by the firearms. Now, don't pick them up, but be ready to use them if real danger threatens.
Captain, here comes Karsh and his men up the ladder.
Ah, ahoy, my pets. We meet again, eh? And how are you, Captain Sea Lawyer Dalton?
Stow the talk, Karsh. Let's hear your terms. We know we're outnumbered, but it's only because I won't risk the lives of these passengers that we've let you board us without a fight. We're powerless to win from you. But if it comes to choice between massacre and honorable death, we'll fight to the last man aboard. Just so you understand.
Oh, pretty little speech indeed, Dalton. Well, my heart, any terms are brief and to the point. Where are those diamonds?
What diamonds? What are you talking about?
Oh, Johnny, how did he find that out?
I can't imagine, Sue, unless... Listen.
Oh, you needn't start any fancy pretending, all of you. I can see by the look on your faces I took you by surprise, didn't I? I know all about your finding a diamond mine on the island of Goto. I know all about your getting off the island just before that earthquake sunk it. And I want them diamonds, and I'll be on my way.
You're crazy, man. You don't know what you're talking about.
Come now. You'd be even more surprised to know that I've got aboard the Africana one of the men who was on that island when she sunk. You probably thought they was all dead, didn't you?
Who is it?
Ah, who is it, he says. Him that didn't know what I was talking about. Wouldn't you like to know?
It might be one of Dirk Briscoe's crew.
Oh, Johnny, it might be Red Mulhooly himself.
No, lass, it ain't Red. Captain Dalton shot him dead in a doornail, and I seen it with me very own eyes.
This talk I ain't getting anywhere. Do I get those diamonds?
My answer's just as brief. You do not.
Avast! Look, Captain! There's two more boatloads of men coming over the side!
Ahoy, what's the meaning of all these men boarding us, Karsh? Order them to stand where they are, or I'll have my men pick up those rifles.
With all my men armed, we'll go for your fancy passengers here first if you make a move toward us, Dalton. Mr. Sea Lawyer. Sort of figured you'd be stubborn about those diamonds. So I came aboard prepared to search for them. And just to be sure you don't try to play any fancy tricks on us, I'm going to send some of your men over on my ship to be held as hostages until we get through.
They'll jump you at the drop of my hand, Karsh.
Go on, drop your hand. And there'll be bullets in the ears of that blinking boy and girl standing there and that blasted ship owner of yours. Quicker than you can reach a spinnaker.
Mr. Grange, I've got to do as he says. I can't let you be harmed. I don't think they'll find the diamonds for some time anyhow. And meanwhile, we may think up some way out of this.
I realize your hands are tied, Dalton. It's your decision that will decide. You're master of the Paul Parrot.
Thank you, Mr. Grange. All right, Karsh. I'll send 10 men over to your ship. Mr. Holling.
Aye, sir.
Take 10 men with you and go back in one of those dories for the Africana.
I wonder why Captain Dalton is sending Hollings. He was one of the privateers on Goto Island. And not one of our original crew at all.
But Sue, remember, he's the one who saved the diamond for us. He's a very brave man, and maybe Captain Dalton already has something in mind. Some kind of a plan.
Captain Dalton, sir. If you don't mind, sir, it looks like a bad blow coming up.
Men, fix the lifelines. Man all ports. Ready for squall.
Hold fast there. There'll be no tricks under my nose. My men will take care of this ship. Look alive, you swab. Reef in this old top to weather the storm. And I take a look about in the captain's quarters for those diamonds.
Bruno!
Another. What in the name of Davy Jones are you doing aboard this outfit?
Blow me down. Look, it's a young woman.
I came aboard with the last boatload of your men. I made them bring me.
Now, look here, Annabelle. You may be my betrothed, but you can't be poking your nose into my affairs like this. Get back in that dory and I'll have you rowed back.
Bruno, you wouldn't tell me what this strange business is all about. You told me you'd stopped privateering years ago, but this certainly doesn't look like it. I had to come over here to find out what you're doing to these people. Why did you send a boatload of their men back to your ship?
Annabelle, if you were already my wife, I'd beat you with a belaying pin for this.
Oh, that's you swine. That's no way to talk to any lady. At least all your betrothed, as I take it, this young woman is.
Oh, Johnny, that beautiful girl is going to marry that awful Captain Carsh.
Captain! Captain Dalton! Avast! A wall of water sweeping down on it! It's a hurricane!
Carsh! Carsh! Get your betrothed bride and as many of your men below as are needed! This is a terrible blow coming up! My men will take over and we'll settle our arguments after we ride out the score.
We will not! I'm in command here now, and my men have taken over. I even put my mate at your helm. Order! Why, what's the idea, you swap? I told you to take over the helm when we got aboard. You're letting these ships drift away from ours.
Mighty sir, get up! Take
the ropes down
and we
stick
them on.
Who cut the light?
Wouldn't you like to go? Wouldn't you like to go?
Below, everybody but the men on duty. In another second, the deck will be completely awash.
What? Yes. I tell you, I am in command.
Pete,
you deal.
Hold
it steady. Put the boat right into the wind.
Good heavens, where's the mercy of the sea?
When trouble comes to the Paul Parrot, it comes in bunches. First, they're caught by the privateer Carsh. They lose part of their crew as hostages. Then they get caught in an awful storm with two rival skippers on board and two crews. And on top of it all, they lose their anchor and their rudder. And if they do ride out the storm safely, what about all those other new problems? Who told Carsh about the diamonds? Who is the survivor from Golco Island aboard the Africana? Who is this lovely young woman who seems to be Carsh's promised bride? Will Carsh find the diamonds? Why did Captain Dalton send Hollings to lead the hostages to the Africana? The only way we can solve all these riddles is to listen for the next episode in the transcribed production, The Cruise of the Paul Parrot. Until then, this is your Paul Parrot announcer saying goodbye.